It's getting close to crunch time.
Yes.
How are you feeling personally?
Do you know, I feel like my escalator's gone faster and I really want to get on it. And I think I'm running and running and running. Mm. And I think I just want it to start. You know, I started doing the schedule because I'm so, like, I'm a bit organisation queen. Mm. Started doing the schedule last September and I feel I can't make any more adaptations to it or any more refinements to it to make it spot on for this tournament. So I think I want to live in my schedule now. I want to live and breathe it. And and obviously the thing for me as well is obviously the girls are all coming in. Some of them we've not seen for about 5-6 months. So it'd be nice just to see everyone again. It feels like we really miss them. They're like our family now. And you know, it feels like all of us are part of a family and, you know, they were well missed in camp, so.
It must be great for you to see all of those girls who are out in Oz doing so well. Like, they've all taken on leadership roles. They're all really dominating in their own individual areas. How does that make you feel about bringing them back in?
Do you know, we said through the Roses programme, this wasn't about making about one person. It was about creating leaders within leaders. Mm. And I think one of the things that's really shone through the club system out in the UK and out in Australia is the way they've just gone on and really led their teams. And, you know, even to winning and to success, to some of the best performances. But they're also excelling themselves, like the number of player of the matches and the way they're outperforming their opposition is just true credit. And, you know, you talk about being the mum in the stand and you think, do you know what? These girls really, truly deserve it. They really wanted to invest. When we started the centralised programme, you know, they really wanted to invest. They knew how much time they had to spend together to get success. And you know what? They've not let me down from that. So for me, we're going into this World Cup. And the most important for me, to me is about winning as a team. And that is on and off the court. And, you know, that is the most important thing for me.
Yeah. It's been amazing to see how netball's progressed over the last 4-10 years, really. How much of a difference do you think the kind of centralised programme and becoming like professional has made to the performance of these girls?
You talk about passing the baton on, and you know, you can't just talk about the last 4 years. You've got to talk about the heritage of where the sport's come from, the people who've contributed, the coaching, and the players. And you know, that Commonwealth Games gold was about all of that. Mm. It surmised all of that. Now, the cherry on the cake was, when I come into this programme, I wanted to try and make this sport professional. Mm. And the way we could do that at the start was giving centralised contracts. And there's some great examples out there in hockey and cricket where they've started to give these central contracts and they've gone on to succeed. And for me, that was hugely important. And I think at the time it was a real challenge for the players, particularly the old ones. But I think we've got a programme now that we don't only integrate people in, we also integrate people out. And we do recognise that people have a lifestyle outside of netball and career opportunities. And, you know, you see some great examples of that within this Roses 12. We've got doctors, we've got lawyers, and they're fully professional people. And we don't actually stop that. So being professional as a woman isn't just about playing the sport. It's about being professional in your personal and your sporting life. And I think that is something that we forget sometimes when we go to sport, that we don't actually create a person, we actually create a product. And I think that was one of the values that I really wanted strongly through these roles, is that they're not animals, they're actual people who, you know, have a lot of investment in it. And that is also the contribution from their family and friends and ensuring that they have time with them as well.
Yeah, well, you really see that. All the girls, though, they're such strong personalities, and that really comes through, I think.
Yeah, and I think it was hard at the time. I think when you start a centralised programme and they know they're going to be living away from home, that can take people out their comfort zone. But I think what the girls have really done is they've really seen the difference that it actually makes and how they can contribute to it. And you know, we looked at over these last 3 years the succession of players that have actually come through our programme, and each international we've had a player that's excelled and really pushed on, and them are the players that are now in this 12. And you look at Fran Williams, who got an opportunity in Uganda, she pushed it on in Australia, and then she got herself to the World Cup, and that is actually being reflected in their club system as well. So for me, it's about the whole thing. It's not just about playing for England.
Yeah, I think that's a really interesting thing when you look at female athletes, particularly like you say about them, you know, you're not making a product, you're making a person. And I think for women generally getting into sport, there's still so many barriers, particularly with like carrying it on after school, even at all levels really. What kind of What do you think needs to change to make that easier for women?
Do you know, I go into schools at the moment and you know, teachers may disagree with this, but, you know, for me, it's around the changing rooms. Mm. You know, girls, you know, get a deny, you know, don't deny it. They want to, you know, they don't want to spend all day sweating. I yeah. think, you know, a little bit longer time to get to the changing room, change, is there straighteners, is there hair dryers, is there an opportunity for them to shower?
Yeah.
You know, make themselves presentable afterwards. I think that is absolutely crucial. And we found yeah. that in the Roses programme, you know, for us to go in, train them, and then put the next thing in, it, mm. it's not important. You know, it's about recovery, you know, going showering. And I think the other thing is about, why can't school days be a bit longer?
Yeah.
You know, everyone goes to work at 9 and finishes at 5, but schools finish at 3:30. Why can't the last bit of the day be sport? Mm. And, you know, you go into some schools who really embrace that, and they get every single teacher, no matter what you are, yeah. coaching or being part in the sport. And I think they should do that with children as well. And, you know, not everyone is going to be a Serena Guthrie.
Mm.
However, that doesn't mean to say that you can't get enjoyment. I see my mum going out every single night, absolutely loving playing netball, absolutely adoring it. She's made up every single night, and the pleasure that actually gives her, and the social aspect. I just think that makes me really proud that our sport can really influence someone's
yeah.
Environment. And I think we need to do a little bit more accessibility to it, and actually do maybe a pilot on what actually women want.
Yeah. I totally agree. They're really practical things that wouldn't be too difficult to implement. So, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And I think, you know, there's probably some barriers around that, like yeah. financial and stuff like that. But I think we need to start moving in the right direction.
Yeah.
It's the people that take the first step to be able to embrace that. So, yeah, that'll probably been criticised now by every person.
No. I think that's really, really good things. And I haven't really heard people talk about it in that kind of, you know, smaller level about what things yeah. teachers can actually
I think
do.
It's because now obviously I've got older nieces and
yeah
and you know they want their hair to look nice going to school,
yeah,
so for me to go and play netball, my hair definitely is not going to look nice after it. So, you know, why can't we put them back into a classroom
yeah
in the same presentation that they actually come into that? So I think
yeah.
I think there just needs to be a little bit more, you know, why can't we provide them with better facilities? Because it's not just about doing the PE class,
yeah,
it's actually about what they do before and after it
yeah.
as well. And I think longer time needs to be spent on it. Who can do sport in 35 minutes?
Yeah, exactly.
It's physically impossible.
Yeah, it's true. World Cup in the Northwest, how much of a big deal is that for you?
You know, if I think about my last World Cup, 1995 in Birmingham, this could be the only experience that I will ever have of it being not only in England, but also in my home region as well. The passion and dedication that the Northwest have, and the brutality of opposition and competitiveness that are shown between the players in this particular region, I think it's an absolute credit to this region to have it here in Liverpool. Also, I think for me, it takes our region on. And so if I think about where, you know, the ambassadors, the role models that I had when I was growing up, these are now more on the visible stage. So to have all the best athletes here, and it's not just about watching the Roses, and you may not get an opportunity to do that, however you can get an opportunity to watch other African styles and Caribbean styles, and I think that's yeah. so exciting, because they're styles that people don't get to experience. And do you know what, it's an absolute pleasure to watch.